I'll just, to begin with, I'll give you a little bit of the background of myself and my involvement with Tom Barry as such. The name, can you all hear me? The name Tom Barry is synonymous with guerrilla warfare in Ireland. He became a legend in his own lifetime, mainly because of his actions rather than his words. And there's no doubt that from an early age he showed determination and has contributed greatly towards the formation of the Irish Republic. Before I ever met Tom Barry, I felt I knew him. From an early age, I found the War of Independence had a special significance in our house. My mother's family was involved in the movement, and their house was a safe house. And one of the men who was on the run was Tom Barry. He was one of the boys of Kilmichael. My uncle, Pat O'Donovan, was a member of Tom Barry's Flying Column and one of the boys of Kilmichael. And during my formative years, I got to know many of the men in the locality who were known as one of the old IRA. Therefore, I grew up hearing the stories of the 3rd West Cork Brigade, and especially of the man who led that column, Tom Barry. I interviewed a number of men and women from the 3rd West Cork Brigade, and the name Tom Barry was always to the forefront, more so than Michael Collins or De Valera. Therefore, this led to my interviews with Tom Barry. I acquired Tom Barry's letters and documents. They were salvaged by a builder from his flat, which was being renovated at the corner of Patrick Street and Cork and Woodford Bourne's. And they were in a dreadful state. They were torn in black plastic bags and some are watermarked. But they were wonderful in clarifying many of the points in this story or the life of Tom Barry. During his lifetime, Tom Barry did not court publicity, but he was drawn into controversy on quite a few occasions, and in the latter part of his life he was known as the gentleman with the hat and the cane, and till the end of his life his memory did not abandon him. Many of the interviews I had with Tom Barry were down in the Mardyke in Cork, and when he walked towards me in one of the earlier interviews, he had with him a page that he had severed from a Sunday newspaper. "Look," he said, "the bloody fella in the paper kept calling me an old man." And I could understand why he was so angry, because once he started to talk, he was back again with these men in West Cork. He exuded youth at heart, and once he started to speak, he was there evading the enemy. He was taking on the enemy, as was the form of guerrilla warfare. His lifetime could be summed up in a motto that he had on that day, the first few lines of which, "And Ireland, long a province, be a nation once again." As he spoke on that day, I could see a softness that crept into those laughing eyes, eyes that remembered gunfire, Mills bombs of explosives and sleet falling on him and his enemies, of sleeping rough while evading the enemies, of long hours of continuously marching through fields, bogs and rivers, and of the blood of battle and the killings of enemies and spies. I knew from my research that Tom Barry was the mighty man. He was the legendary commander that was ruthless, daring, cold-blooded, unselfish, benign. He was compromising or uncompromising, depending on the circumstances. Tom Barry was born on the 1st of July, 1897, in Killorgan, County Kerry. He was the second of 14 children born to Thomas and Margaret Barry. He was christened Thomas Bernardine, but later he would be known to the world as General Tom Barry. Tom's father eloped with his mother because the family did not approve of the relationship, because he was in the Royal Irish Constabulary, and he resigned 4 years after, when Tom was about 4 years of age, and he returned to his native Roscarbery. And there he worked with his wife in a shop known as the Arcade, which was owned by his aunt. Tom attended the Boys' National School, and his teacher was John McCarthy, and he was known to turn the history book upside down and give his own version of history. The teacher had a sporting rifle, and as he roamed the fields shooting woodcock and pigeons, his companion was often the young Tom Barry. He showed him how to hold, load, carry, and fire a gun, and this was to dictate how Tom would live his life in later years. Tom spent his formative years in West Cork. This part of the country had a tradition of learning from head schools to state schools. There had been recurrent insecurity of tenure and evictions, and several families in the area were either connected to or knew of evicted families. In fact, my own father was from an evicted family. Finances were low with the Barry family, so they moved to Bandon. Tom's maternal aunts paid the fees to send this bright young lad to Mungret boarding school. His parents couldn't afford it, so this helped the family. Tom was 17 when he got his first job as a clerk in Bandon, which was a loyalist town. And in 1915, Tom, anxious for adventure, decided that he would, the war, Great War had begun in 1914, and he decided he would sign up. "I went to war," he wrote, "for no other reason but that I wanted to see what war was like, to get a gun, to see new countries and feel a grown man." He bade goodbye to his family, to his girlfriend Cathy Hayes, and he headed off for the war. In May 1916, while serving with the Mesopotamian Expeditionary Force, now in Iraq, he got the news that there was a rebellion in Dublin. The communique on the board said, told of the leaders of the rising who had been shot dead. Far away from home, it awakened him in him a feeling of nationalism. He was able to think, "What am I doing here, fighting for the British Army, who was fighting for small nations, and my own nation is at war?"